We have a reading from Psalm 16, which is on page 538 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Psalm 16. A miktam of David. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I'm sure Jim will correct me if I'm wrong. A miktam of David. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So far, the reading of the Psalms.
Our second reading this afternoon is from John chapter 14. We'll read together the first 14 verses of John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So far, this reading of God's holy word. Our text from this reading from John is verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters, are you Christians? You know, if you were living when the New Testament church began in the first century, right after Jesus ascended into heaven and right after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in power upon the church, if you were living then, you wouldn't have been a Christian. Okay, that's not the best way to put it. Let me put it a bit differently. You wouldn't have called yourself a Christian. At least not at first. The earliest followers of Jesus Christ, they called themselves the people of the way. You know, we read in Acts 9, verses 1 and 2 about the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, before he was converted. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. The way. That's what the early church was known as. And in this, you might say that they were following their Lord and Savior, who called himself the way. This is how he identifies himself in our text. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when Jesus refers to himself as the way, he's not exactly introducing a new concept that has never been considered before. You see, he's dealing with an idea here that had been around long before he ever even came on the scene. The idea of the way, this is actually a rather rich theme from the Old Testament. Psalm 119, verse 30, for instance. I have chosen the way of truth. And Psalm 16, which was just read a few minutes ago, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The path of life, or the way of life. The way of life that leads to joy to the full, pleasures forevermore. In Proverbs 15, verse 24, we read there in the New King James Version, the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. So on the one hand, you have the way of death, right? The way that leads to destruction. But then on the other hand, you have the way of life, the way to perfect fellowship with the Father. Consider also the last verse of Psalm 1, a wisdom psalm, a psalm that in many respects helps to introduce the psalms as a whole. In verse 6 there we read, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know something, this isn't just about the Lord keeping his eye on what the righteous do, all right, and knowing that what the ungodly do, it's not going to last. Well, there's more going on here. It's not just saying that the Lord knows the way that the righteous conduct themselves, the way they live their lives, like a parent knows the way that his child behaves. It's said much, much deeper than that. God, well, he does know the path that the righteous are on, and the path that the ungodly are on, and he is the one who lays out the path for the righteous, the one who has set them on that path, the one who makes it possible for them to remain on that path. He can do all of this because, well, he is the path. He is the way. It's not just about him giving us a pattern for life, right? But it's about finding life in him. Being connected to him. Living in a covenant relationship with him. All right, so this idea of the way, it's a deep truth with with a rich Old Testament history. And now Jesus comes and says, I am the way. Interesting, isn't it? He doesn't just say, I know the way. I know the way that you should conduct yourself. I know the way that you should live your life. I know the way to the Father, to life in Him forever, to joy and peace. And because I know the way, I can show you that way. I'm here to tell you how to live your life. I'm here to be a good teacher. And I want to teach you how to be a better person, the way you should live. Now, here too, it's so much richer and deeper than that. I don't just know the way, Jesus says. I don't just show you the way. I am the way. Now, Jesus being the way. To appreciate the significance of this, brothers and sisters, and to appreciate really what a great, great blessing it is for us to know this about Jesus, to have Him define Himself in this way, we need to appreciate the situation in which Jesus is making this incredible statement, all right? Now, you can compare the situation that He's making this statement in to the situation of a number of other of the I am statements found throughout the book of John. You can't help but notice there's a number of these declarations that Jesus makes to a wide, wide audience. He's saying what He says to a large number of people. But what He says when He defines Himself with the various I am statements, it didn't always exactly have the effect of helping more people to a deeper appreciation for who He was and a greater love for Him and a greater recognition of who He was. No, in fact, sometimes He would define Himself, He would say who He is, revealing Himself. But this would have the rather negative effect of turning people away. John 6, Jesus defined Himself saying, I am the bread of life. And then after elaborating on how we need to feed on Him, even going so far as to say that whoever feeds on His flesh has eternal life, many of the people respond by saying, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And in verse 66 of John chapter 6, the same chapter, we read about how many of His followers turned back, left, no longer walked with Him. Then in John 8, we read Himself, referring to Himself as the light of the world. And at the end of this chapter, He declared the text that we considered this morning. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And you remember what the reaction of the people was to that, right? They picked up stones to throw at Him. They wanted to kill Him. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks of being the door to the sheep. And in the same context, with the same illustration, He also speaks of, I am the good shepherd. Well, in verse 19 and 20 of this chapter, John 10, we read, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He is a demon and is insane. Why listen to Him? Not exactly a positive response to Jesus defining Himself. But you know something? Jesus expected that response. He wasn't surprised at all. We read in John 6 of how Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe. and who it was who would betray him. He expected the response of unbelief. But the I am statement that we're focusing on this afternoon, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is spoken in a much different context, and it's intended to convey a much different response. He proclaims this particular I am statement to his closest followers in John 14, right? In a very intimate setting. And in so doing, he's showing his love for them. You know, the point where he makes this claim about himself, defining himself as the way, the truth, and the life, is his followers at that particular point would likely have been rather concerned, to say the least. It was the time of the Passover, all right? Hours before Jesus was going to be betrayed, before he would be tried and sentenced to death and hung on the cross. And there they were in the upper room participating in their Last Supper together. And Jesus was making it clear that he was about to leave them. Verse 33 of John 13. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. Not only does he say, I'm going away, but he makes it clear that his followers, well, they're going to abandon him. One would betray him. Another would deny him. This was not exactly something that would encourage positive response on their part, is it? But Jesus doesn't tell them all of this in order to make them feel bad. Not at all. He encourages them with these words found at the beginning of chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, yes, it's going to be difficult for a little while. But ultimately, you don't have to be troubled. I'm going away. But I'm going away in order to prepare a place for you. A place where you're going to be joining me eventually. I'm going to take you there to be with me. And I'm not just going to leave you in the dark about all of this. This is not some deep, dark secret that I'm keeping to yourself so that you have no idea where it is that I'm going. So that you have no idea how even to get to that place. Oh, there are things that you'll never be able to understand, at least not while you remain here in this life. In my Father's house are many mansions, and what it's going to be like to live in those mansions. I'm not going to spell that out in great detail, he says. There are so many questions about where it is that I'm going that, well, they're just going to have to remain unanswered. So many things about the destination that you'll never be able to appreciate until you get there. But know this, you will get there. And know this as well. You know how it is that you will get there. You know the way. You know the way to where I am going, Jesus says in verse 4. Ah, but do they really know the way? Thomas contradicts Jesus. Lord, we do not know where you are going. And then he follows up his confession of ignorance with a question. And how can we know the way? These words you're speaking to us, Lord, they're not all that particularly comforting. Because you're telling us things that we don't understand. But Jesus lets them know, oh yes, you do know the way. You know the way because you know me, he says. I am the way. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to eternal truth. I am the way to life everlasting. I am the way to being who we were intended to be as God created us to be His people. You want to see God the Father? See me. You want to know the Father? Know me. So our Lord and Savior declares. So, Jesus is the way. He is the way to the Father. You know Him, you know the Father. You want access to God the Father, to a relationship with Him, to life in Him, you go through His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, we've been focusing so far in this sermon on Jesus being the way. I am the way. But you'll notice, of course, that this particular I am statement that we're reflecting on, it says more than just that. I am the way. Jesus defines Himself saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now we have to appreciate here, all right, that Jesus being the way, that's the essential element here. That's the primary focus of what He's saying. And we know that because of the context in which we find this statement. He says this in response to Thomas's question, right? How can we know the way? And Thomas's question itself, that's in response to what Jesus said earlier. Where I go, you know. And the way, you know. You know the way because you know me. And what he says right afterwards, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way to the Father. But then, all right, if that's his emphasis, why doesn't he just leave it at that, right? Saying only, I am the way. That's the point he's trying to get across here, right? Why does he feel the need to add these extra statements on? Not only am I the way, but I am the truth, and I am the life. What's he doing here? Well, it's not just that Jesus is saying, okay, I'm the way, and let me tell you what I'm the way to. I'm the way to truth. I am the way to life. He certainly is the way to truth and the way to life, but there's more going on here than that. But on the other hand, it's not just that Jesus is making here three separate and equal statements about himself. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. All three being specific statements, distinct aspects of who he is. Now, certainly, of course, each of these three is somewhat distinct, and they are true, each and every one of them, in and of themselves. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Each one of these things tells us something important about who he is. But that's not really what he's trying to do here, just make three separate statements. It's not why he puts it this way. Really, there's more going on here than that. There is a very real connection between these three statements. So is he connecting these three and saying, I am the way, therefore I am the truth? I am the way, therefore I am the life? Well, again, he could say that. Certainly true. But still, this also isn't exactly what he's driving at here. Rather, in fact, it's actually the other way around. I am the truth, therefore I am the way. I am the life, therefore I am the way. Let me quote from R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries as he deals with this whole statement here in his commentary on John, all right? The structure of this statement is such that Jesus was not giving a string of descriptive terms. He was not saying, I am A, the way, B, the truth, and C, the life. Rather, Jesus was saying, I am the way because I am the truth and because I am the life. I am the way to the Father because I am the true manifestation or revelation of the Father. I am the way to the Father because I alone have the power of eternal life. So what Jesus is doing here by adding these two ideas of being the truth and the life, these two ideas to his definition of himself in this instance. He's making it clear just how it is that it is possible that he can be the way. What is it about himself that makes it possible for him to be the way to the Father? The way spoken of in the Old Testament. He is the way because he is the truth, the essence of truth, the ultimate in truth. He is the way because he is the life. He has life in himself, being in himself. The essence, the ultimate in life. And that's why he can be the way to the Father. You might think, oh, you're getting kind of precise here. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, I'm not just trying to focus on the interpretive intricacies of all of this just simply for its own sake, okay? These are not just finer points that only theologians might be interested in and have disagreements about. Rather, please, people of God, appreciate what's going on here, what he's saying here. Appreciate who Jesus is as being the way to the Father. And be encouraged. Be encouraged by Jesus being the way to the Father. You know, throughout this book of John, all right, Jesus is revealed in absolutely amazing ways. Right from the get-go, okay? Right from the first chapter, we read about Jesus being the Word and Jesus being the revelation of the Father, the truth, right? We have incredible things being said there and throughout this book about Jesus being sent from the Father and Jesus having intimate connection to the Father. And just as the Father has life in himself, so also the Son has life in himself. These incredible things about him. And what it all comes down to is this, so that you may be encouraged to believe in the one who is the way, so that you may know God and have life in him. Jesus tells us why he wrote this book through John, tells us why he wrote this book in verse 31 of chapter 20. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, that you may believe. That you may believe that Jesus is who he says he is. That he is the Christ sent by the Father. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. You know, it's so striking. All of these Incredible theological truths revealed to us in this book. I mean, think about it, all right? The church has been struggling for thousands of years trying to understand the person of Jesus, who he is as man, who he is as God. And this particular statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it has so much to contribute to this discussion. You delve into the riches of it, and it says so much about Jesus. The essence of truth in and of himself, the source of life. Of course he's divine. There's no way any created being could say any of this about himself. But here's what all of this theology comes down to. That you may know that Jesus is the way and that your hearts don't have to be troubled. That you may believe in Him. That you may have life in Him. That you may know that whatever happens in this life, it does not take away from the fact that you belong to Him. That He is your Savior. That He will never let you go. Because He joins you to the Father. The comfort that Jesus proclaims to His disciples here, as they're about to face an extremely difficult time, let not your hearts be troubled. This is the comfort that He proclaims to each and every one of you here this afternoon. Believe in God, believe also in me, your Savior says to you. He says to you right now that you can believe in Him. You can trust in Him because He is the way. And we know that He is the way because He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way, the only way that you could ever want, the only way that you could ever need, because He is truth in Himself, life in Himself. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you may see yourself as people of the way. Followers of the way. Followers of this Savior. I pray that you may know the comfort that the disciples could know because of who Jesus is. Know Him. Know Him as He defines Himself. Love Him for who He is and worship Him. Worship the One who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.